Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Patterson to Gibson, who gets a running start on that catch. Gibson across the 30. Antonio Gibson still going. Can he return the favor down the sideline? You gotta be kidding me! Back to back! A 90-yard touchdown!
Huge play to turn around the Patriots' victory, 33-27 over the Miami Dolphins. Pats even their record at 1-1. With that win yesterday, we're reacting all day long here on a Patriots Monday on Jones and Keefe. You heard Mike Vrabel earlier today with the Greg Hill Show. You'll hear Drake May later on today with WEEI Afternoons. If you missed any of our interview with Hunter Henry, it's on the Audacy app, AUDACY. Get it on your phone, free, easy. Take it with you wherever you go. You can use the rewind feature to listen to our interview with Hunter, and you can also listen right now to Patriots linebacker Christian Ellis. He's brought to you by Drains by James, Eastern Mass's top provider of drain and sewer cleaning and repair, by Shaw's and Star Market. Look for the new lower prices everyday tags through the store and save on the items that you buy most, and by Verizon, the New England Patriots, powered by Verizon 5G. Christian Ellis, how are we doing this week?
I'm doing good. How about you guys?
We're doing great. Much better after a win, as I'm sure you are as well. How's it feel to get the first win of the year, first win for Vrabel, first win in Miami since 2019?
Yeah, no, I obviously I'm very happy for Brady, very happy for the team, very happy for the hard work that we put in. So it was a good day yesterday. You know, obviously a lot we can learn from, but we walk away with a win on the road. You can't complain too much, you know what I mean?
Can you take us through the highs and lows of the fourth quarter, just being out there on the field and, you know, there's a punt return touchdown, a kick return touchdown, there's a near touchdown, at least watching on the broadcast, he didn't know in real time if he stepped out of bounds. It just seemed like there was so much going on there. Can you take us through it?
Yeah, you know, there's highs and lows of every game, but that game was particularly streaky. It just felt like both teams were getting their licks in, and then, you know, we just ended up pulling it out in the end, and I attribute that to really our special teams play at the end. Obviously, we want to limit that explosive return they had for a touchdown. But, you know, we answered, so we can't complain about that, you know.
We're all hoping for the best for Terrell Williams, who's had a couple of health scares far this season away from the team. Currently, Zach Kerr was coaching the defense yesterday. For you guys, how was it different without – Terrell Williams and with Zach Kerr yesterday?
Yeah, no, I think Zach did a great job stepping up. He did a great job communicating calls fast, early. You know, there's never going to be a perfect call to a play. So I think he made good decisions when he was on the mic, and, you know, he let us play at the end of the day. As for not having T out there, obviously we love T. We miss him. He's the head man of our defense, so we just hope for him to get back. But I think Zach did a great job.
You know, not to make excuses or anything, but, you know, throughout training camp and the preseason, there's not a ton of tackling. Like, you guys kind of go through and make contact and everything, but there's not a lot of bring players down to the ground tackling. Early in the season, is there a little bit of a, like, trying to catch up to live game action just because you see some, you know, missed tackles and you wonder – had you practiced it more, maybe it'd be a little bit, it'd translate more to the game days.
Yeah, no, and that's something we're going to really look at this week, especially in the linebacker room, just because it's not normal. And it's obviously, it's something we got to fix. So I think it's something we're going to look at heavily into this week, especially me. Because I think it just comes down to just the fundamentals of it. I see a lot of for myself, leaving my feet, which is not something I ever really want to do. I want to drive, like run through guys, like keep your feet driving. And so there's been a lot of lunging. I'll speak for myself on my end. So we're going to look at that this week and get some drills dialed up and figure it out, because it'll get better as the season goes on. Like, you're right that you don't get much live tackling. But now that we've noticed it, especially, you know, the two games in a row where there's been a few missed tackles, I think that's something we're going to really look into this week.
I'm looking at some comments that the Tua had after the game, saying that they had some communication issues, getting plays in late from their sideline. He said he was frustrated about it during the game yesterday. Did you notice any of that frustration playing out with the Dolphins offense down the stretch?
You know, I saw a few times where they were getting a little animated on the field, but I was so focused on what we had to do. I wasn't too focused on what Tua and them were doing. I didn't really notice it.
You know, it's the NFL, so everybody's fast, but is there a noticeable difference when you're out there on the field with guys like Tyreek Hill, Jaylen Waddle, and Achan? Because they seem to be next-level fast.
Yeah, no, those guys are quick, for sure. It's something that you got to really try to corral them. It's going to be hard, especially in this league, to limit explosives like that. But it's something that I think we can do as a defense. But you're right, they're particularly faster than most teams we play.
You know, I'm sure you guys are hoping to get Christian Gonzalez back as soon as possible. How do you feel like the guys have stepped up in his absence?
Yeah, no, I think they've done well. I think there's even, I think, like, for us as linebackers, there's the stuff that even we can do to help them, whether it's some of our scheme stuff that I'm not really going to go into, but there's stuff that we can do as OBs to help our guys when they have a particularly hard challenge that week. So I think they've done well. I think I always look at it from my perspective and what I can do to help them and what I can do to be better and, you know, be a better teammate in that way. So that's the first thing. I think they did well, and, you know, we'll look at ways that we can help them even more.
You know, everybody's different when it comes to returning from an injury. I'm curious, from your perspective and your experiences, do you feel like you need a full week of practice in order to then plan the game on Sunday? Or could you maybe be out for a couple days, get even a limited practice on Friday, and then be ready to go? How do you feel about it?
I think the LB position is just a little different just because we have so much communication. There's like so much, like every play we're talking to the D-line, we're talking to the back end, we're talking to each other. So I think for the LB position, you kind of need a few practices or at the very minimum walkthroughs. But I don't know about any other position. I know from my experience, I felt like I needed at least 2 days of practice.
Okay. Well, we'll see if we get those days of practice out of Christian Gonzalez this week. Christian Ellis, we appreciate the time. Every Patriots Monday. Congrats on the win. We'll talk to you next week.
Okay. Thank you, guys. Bye.
Christian Ellis joining us here on Jones and Keefe every Patriots Monday on WEEI. It's interesting. We'll play as some Vrabel coming up, or maybe we can even do it now if you want, but Vrabel didn't make it sound like Gonzo's anywhere near back to the field.
No. Good perspective, though, by Ellis. I hadn't thought of that, you know, and I think he can only speak for himself, but for the positions that involve a lot more communication, maybe you kind of need more practice, whereas a guy like, let's say, a corner or a wideout, if you're good, you're good, right? And maybe you can slow play, but then go out there and like cover your guy.
Well, I was gonna say, especially how'd Vrabel call it early in camp, cat coverage.
Yeah, if it's cat coverage, you're like, hey, you got
that
Metcalf.
Cat, I got this cat, go follow him. Or like, there really isn't a ton of communication there. So
not
fair
the
point.
Easiest first matchup right off of a 6-7 week. Although I think today marks 7 weeks since Gonzalez was hurt.
It's early this. Yeah, it's either today, it's tomorrow. It's early in the week.
It might be exactly 7 weeks.
He's right there
since he's been hurt. And, I mean, you'd obviously like him out there. Yesterday, they missed him against the Raiders even more than I thought that they would. And then you knew yesterday, even if Tyreek Hill and Jaylen Waddle aren't at their highest of their powers, right, they're still pretty good. And there were a few times where you're like, oh, man.
That's why we put him on the bad QB tier.
That's why we put
him on the bad QB tier, Keith. Although I called their roster trash
but
on
they've
Friday.
Given up, how many yards passing have they given up? Like 800?
That's
700?
It was... Yeah, 360 or whatever to Geno, and then another 315 yesterday.
Give or take.
Yeah.
Yeah, they've given up like 700 yards passing.
So we were asking some questions, like how do they limit big plays, explosive plays? How are you going to do it? The return of Christian Gonzalez would go a long way to that. I'm sure they still should have been better these last couple of weeks. If you missed Mike Vrabel earlier today on the Greg Hill Show. He got a little snippy with Courtney. This was an odd exchange about Christian Gonzalez. Okay.
I know you said last week that Christian Gonzalez continues to improve. Is there a chance that we could see him going into this week?
There's a chance.
A good this one?
I wanted to ask.
Courtney got a big ring. She's got a rich husband.
She does have a pretty big ring there. Yeah, it's pretty big.
What's he do, Courtney?
He does commercial real estate.
Oh,
he does,
wow. Yeah. High rises. And
he's actually
stuff.
St. John's prep guy.
You see that rock over there?
I mean, it was like, okay.
That thing is bright as the sun, man. As bright as the
sun.
So
a good chance. So a good chance for Christian. Yeah. Good chance.
All right, well.
There's a chance.
I'm saying there's a chance, too.
So he the thing
well, that
he
wasn't
said
awkward
there,
at all.
So the thing he said there at the end, and we're mocking the idea of Courtney with the brags there, because I don't get what Vrabel's doing there, honestly, other than it's lashing really out because he's frustrated with Gonzalez would be my read
that's
on
really
it.
Really strange.
But when he says, hey, I can ask questions too, almost like if you want to ask awkward questions, I'm going to make it awkward for you. That's what it sounded like to me.
Yeah.
Why can't you just answer questions about Gonzalez? Is he he was supposed to be back by now. You guys didn't put him on IR. The reports were he was back week one. What is going on? Tell us, give us some ideas to what's going on, or else we are going to speculate, which sounds like it frustrates you. It frustrated you with Diggs. It sounds like it frustrates you with Gonzalez. If you don't give us anything, then we kind of have to guess and speculate. So give us something.
You can ask questions, right? I mean, that's not the typical role of a guest on a show, but I think it's an open conversation. So if you want to ask questions, you can. Also, maybe answer questions first. And I guess technically he did. Like, there's a chance. Didn't really want to get into it. But then to pivot away like that and just like find anything else to talk about, just something else that's in the room. That he did the I love lamp is basically what he did. Like he looked over, he's like, oh, I see a giant ring. Let's change the subject.
Courtney got a big ring. She's got a rich husband.
Like, okay. You have a cornerback who's not going to play, apparently, for a third straight week.
He's had odd little areas where he lashes out. Where again, I don't think he's lashing out at Courtney.
No.
I think he's frustrated at the Gonzalez situation.
He's got to be frustrated by it. Now, is there a setback? Was there something else that's going on? Because we're getting towards, if he misses three games, I mean, if he just would have been on the, you know, PUP list or IR or whatever else, he could be out for 4 weeks. You have an extra roster spot. It just makes, if they knew he was going to be out this long, they would have done something differently.
And the answer would be, why don't you put him on PUP or IR? Well, then he couldn't practice the first 4 weeks. Well, he hasn't practiced.
No, he hasn't.
Based on that answer, do you think he's playing this week or practicing anytime soon?
No, I don't.
Me neither.
Has he had any more cryptic Instagram posts?
I haven't checked. I'll have to go seek that out.
I'll take a peek.
By the way, Mike Vrabel joins the Greg Hill Show every Patriots Monday for awkward exchanges like that throughout the year. It's brought to you by Northeastern Savings Bank, the leading financial option for New England businesses and the families that power them. Northeastern Savings Bank, upgrade to local, member DIFFDIC. Let's go to the phones. Jeff is in Abington. Hello, Jeff.
Yes, why don't you allow your callers to have a conversation?
I don't know. What's the conversation? What's the conversation you want to have? What is it?
How do they start?
Well, you won't allow your callers to have a conversation.
What did you want to have a conversation about, Jeff? I'm asking you.
Is this the conversation? Are we in it right now?
Yeah, we're in it right now.
It's going
you
great.
The callers say something, you cut them off.
This
and
might be
your show. Your ratings suck.
Oh, they do?
Come on, Jeff.
What's the question, Jeff? Or what's the conversation you'd like to have?
I like to know why they won't let you have callers have a conversation.
This is about going as well as you thought that it was going to go, Jeff.
Well, it says here you want to talk about the O-line. Is that what you want to talk about?
No, he wants to talk about us and the callers.
Yeah, you guys had a chance at the big time. And first of all,
this is the big time. What do you mean a chance at the big time? This is the big time. What's bigger than 10 to 2?
You had drive time and you lost it.
Well, that's true. I mean, we did.
There were other semantics there, I feel like.
That's true.
Yeah, I mean, you lost it.
Others
yeah,
lost it
years ago, Jeff. I'm living in the now.
Others lost it as well, Jeff.
I'm living in the now.
I'll tell you why you lost it.
Why's that?
Because you're arrogant and you're pompous.
No, not us.
And you're not likable. You're not likable people. Neither one of you.
Right. Why did you wait on hold to talk to us?
That's not incorrect. Any O-line thoughts while we're having a conversation, Jeff, or no? Or is that it?
You sound very fun.
Let's talk about the offensive line.
Let's
hear it. What do you want to say?
I just said, let's talk about the offensive line.
You called in and you insulted us. You're bringing up the past.
Yeah, I insult you.
Why?
Too bad.
We don't insult you. We wouldn't insult you. Yeah, my feelings are hurt. I have feelings. I bleed.
Because you're rude to your callers.
Some of the callers,
Jeff. I feel like we're being quite nice.
Some of the callers we are.
I feel like we're being quite nice.
I treat people the way I've been treated. You're treating me poorly.
Let me say, give you some constructive constructive criticism.
That'd be great.
Do the show. Stop talking among yourselves.
What's a talk show, Jeff? It's a talk show, Jeff.
Yeah.
Well, take more calls and have a conversation.
Well, if the calls go as well as this, then we'll have to take more calls.
Hey, Jeff.
If you took more calls, you've had better calls because you have a lot of dumb callers because nobody's listening.
We're adding to the list, Jeff. I agree. But okay, so Jeff, don't be a stranger. We'll talk again soon. Okay, this is a good conversation.
Yeah, this is good. This is enlightening.
Well, I'll call again.
Okay. I know you will. I know you will. The show sucks. You hate both guys, but you listen every day and you call the show.
No, I don't listen to every day.
Well, yes, you do.
All right, you're listening now.
Please use your time as efficiently as we can.
You want to have a conversation about the O-line?
I want to talk about the callers. And I want to talk about Jeff. And, I mean, that's just have a day. You know, you wake up, Patriots have a nice win. You're like, I'm going to wait on hold for an hour.
It didn't sound like he stopped celebrating after the win yesterday.
No,
he kept the celebration going. No, which is nice.
Maybe you hit them on the money line, plus 105.
Maybe. Oh, is that a?
Yeah.
You did?
Yeah.
Good for
plus 105.
That's nice.
That's not bad. A little juice on there.
No comment on how the Greg, bro. Thank you. No comment on how the Bozo touchdown parlay did.
No, we'll update that in grab bag.
Yeah, we'll get to that.
We didn't hit this one necessarily.
That didn't.
Better than the week before, though. We're getting closer to it.
Things are
getting closer.
It's an improvement.
Yeah.
If we keep this pace up, we'll be hitting in no time. Mm-hmm. So there you go. We're happy to have a conversation at 617-779-7937. Usually they go somewhere. But a circular conversation where you chase your tail is not the end of
just
the world.
To point this out quickly, Jeff called in. He said, why don't you take more calls? A minute later, he said, most of your callers suck. He said that. So, like, you answered your own question.
Well.
Yeah.
I don't agree with him on the calls. I tend to love
you think
callers.
They're great.
I think they tend to be very strong. Yeah, yes.
Led by him. We're gonna have a caller competition. We're going to call it the smack off.
617-779-7937.
Money Mac's real name.
That might be Jeff.
We'll have to. That's a good point. We'll get to all your feedback coming up. We'll have a conversation with you there. I want to get to a trade the Patriots made over the weekend later on this hour. And if you missed any of week two, we'll tell you what happened.
It's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And you're seeing exactly
why it's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos. Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Couldn't sit on the couch all day? Well, we've got you covered with...
What happened?
...on Jones and Keefe.
Oh, Dr. Jones, week two in the NFL. Couple of games tonight. It's a Monday Night Football doubleheader. But in the meantime, if you missed any of the action from yesterday, we got it covered for you, including another AFC East matchup. It was the Buffalo Bills taking on the New York Jets.
What happened?
I'll tell you.
Thank you, Trace. Look at that move by Cook. Oh, it's still going. James Cook to the end zone for a touchdown and a brilliant run.
Put that on your highlight tape right now, Jim. I know you carry him each game, but that was next level.
These guys are best buds, Nance and Romo.
Romo sounds like one of our callers.
It kind of does. Bills blow out the Jets 30-10. James Cook, 132 yards rushing, 2 scores.
Nice. Yeah. News that just came out, Justin Fields, and I don't think it's a surprise, he left yesterday with a concussion. He's in concussion protocol. He was good yesterday before the injury. 3-for-11, 27 yards.
All right, well.
That's a Bills defense
starter
that got shredded the week before. Jets now 0-2.
Buffalo 2-0. You mentioned the Jets and Dolphins being 0-2. So the Patriots alone in second place in the division
at
1-1. What about the Cincinnati Bengals and the Jacksonville Jaguars?
What happened?
Well, we'll get into what happened to Joe Burrow. Let's just say he wasn't in the game when this happened.
Yeah, sneak a jab over the top. Touchdown, Bengals. They have the lead with 18 seconds left.
Jake Browning with the go-ahead score. Like, what's Jake Browning doing in there? Well, it's a turf toe injury for Joe Burrow. He needs surgery. He's going to be out at least 3 months.
Ugh.
Not great. But the Bengals did win. They are 2-0 to start the season.
So you just said it. They're 2-0. so they have some leeway. Browning was 4-3 in 7 starts for Burrow in 2023.
Yeah, not the worst. Seven. Not the worst backup.
Does it open up the door for a team like the Patriots to get into the playoff picture?
100%.
I mean, we already thought they were in it, right?
I had them both in. I had Cincinnati and New England, so maybe this just gives you a better
you
chance.
Very famously did not have the Bengals in the playoffs.
That doesn't sound right to me.
Ja'Marr Chase still had 14 catches for 165 yards and a touchdown after a slow week one. Nice. So I still think he'll be productive, but I think it knocks a few wins, obviously. That goes without saying. I mean, you go from Joe Burrow down to Jake Browning. I assume they stick with Browning, though. Like, are they going to be in the market for somebody?
Schefter had a tweet earlier today. They're monitoring for, like, a veteran QB. I don't know if that means as a backup to Browning or not, but it does change how the Patriots and Bengals match up in Cincinnati. I had that chalked up as a loss in Cincinnati on November 23rd. That might flip that one.
Yeah, great point. It's not just, the three wild card teams, but there's a head-to-head matchup later on in the season. So, yeah, that's a good point. Much more winnable for the Patriots now. What about the Baltimore Ravens and the Cleveland Browns?
Hey, what happened?
On 2nd and 10, they're going to throw it again for Hopkins, and DeAndre Hopkins has got it. Cam Mitchell in on the coverage. And the 33-year-old is in the end zone for a second time this year.
He had an unbelievable one-handed catch in week one. That was not as unbelievable, but still a nice catch by DeAndre Hopkins. And the Ravens get their first win of the year, blowing out the Browns 41-17. Lamar Jackson threw 4 touchdowns.
Yeah, Dylan Gabriel got in late, right?
Yeah, Dylan Gabriel got in late. You also saw Quinshon Judkins.
Oh, yeah.
I can't say his name, but he had...
Quinshon.
Quinshon.
Yep.
I try to speed through the Quinn part. 10 carries, 61 yards rushing. Dylan Gabriel, 3-for-3, 19 yards, and a touchdown pass.
The story that came out here prior to the game was that Shedeur Sanders was potentially going to be drafted by the Ravens, pick 141, something like that. He told them he didn't want to go there.
Didn't want to back up Lamar.
Now he's a Brown backing up Flacco and Dylan Gabriel.
So you could be third string on the Browns or the backup on the Ravens. You chose wisely.
I'm rooting for Shedeur, but that makes it tough.
No, that was tough. So Browns fall to 0-2. They are a bit of a mess. Derrick Henry, sort of the inverse of Ja'Marr Chase, like fantasy-wise. Derrick Henry was a monster week one, really didn't do anything, didn't need to do anything in week two.
Ooh, maybe Ja'Marr Chase kind of stole his powers after week one.
Perhaps.
Yeah, maybe.
All right, Colts and Broncos.
What happened?
Well, this was a very strange finish here to this AFC matchup. The Colts had a chance to get the win. Well, you'll hear it.
Personal foul. Leverage. Defense number 96. Oh,
leverage.
That's a huge. Oh, my God. That is a huge
first down.
Now it is a 45-yard field goal with no time left. This for the win. Spencer Schrader. It's good, and the Colts have won.
Colts, a walk-off 29-28 win over the Broncos. It was pretty chaotic there at the end because they actually missed the game-winning field goal originally.
From 60,
they missed it, but there was leverage. You can't grab the sink, you can't push the center down or whatever else it was.
You
think
you did? Did you see the replay?
I did see the replay. I thought it was fine.
That seems like that happens almost every
field goal that's kicked. What am I looking for?
Did you hear what happened to Terp?
No, what happened to Terp?
This was the final leg on a Terp parlay.
Broncos win?
Broncos money line.
Oh.
And he got stiffed on it. I don't know what he lost out on. I don't think it was quite what was at stake in the Bozo touchdown parlay.
No.
But Terp was real salty about that earlier today.
Man, second straight week where Daniel Jones played pretty well.
1.429. $626.
That might have been it.
Daniel Jones, 316 yards passing and a touchdown. Jonathan Taylor ran for $165. Bo Nix threw 3 touchdowns in the loss, but final play at the end. Broncos are now 1-1. The Colts, an early 2-0 start.
They feel like the Saints from a year ago to me. Like, hot start. Nobody saw it coming.
Colts?
Yeah, wheels are going to fall off. But they're 2-0. Don't take it away from them.
Like, Broncos is a real win. I like the Broncos.
That is a real win.
Yeah, the Dolphins not as much. But what about a Super Bowl rematch?
What happened?
For all the marbles. Eagles and Chiefs. The winner gets the trophy.
Here's Barkley right side. Sprinting through the hole. Saquon Barkley is in. Touchdown, Philadelphia.
Philadelphia got the win again. They are 2-0, 20-17, your final. Saquon Barkley, 88 yards on the ground, and that touchdown. Chiefs, 0-2.
They have never lost, if you count the Super Bowl, they had never lost 3 straight with Patrick Mahomes. They've now lost 3 straight games. It's the first time in a couple of years they've lost back-to-back games. So the Patriots ahead of the Chiefs in the standings. I largely thought that game yesterday was a dud. I don't know.
Yeah,
like
I hear
people go, it's football, defensive football. That felt like a dud. For what should have been a great matchup, it felt like mostly a bunch of stupid tush pushes.
It was good until all the tush pushes.
They should outlaw that stupid play. I know they didn't, so the Eagles are allowed to do it. But it's such a cheap, stupid play. Yesterday was a prime example of why they got to get that out.
So the Chiefs, I wasn't bold enough to have them missing the playoffs, but I did feel a bad year coming. I had them not winning the division.
Down on them.
But they're 0-2, but also the Joe Burrow injury also does maybe open the door, even a slow start for them.
Good point.
You know, one less team down the road. So we'll see. But the Chiefs are 0-2 to begin the year. What about the Rams and the Titans?
Third and five now for the LA offense. Stafford tosses, end zone, touchdown, Devontae Adams. Stafford hits him in stride.
First touchdown as a member of the LA Rams for Devontae Adams, who also had six catches for 106 yards. And the Rams, 33-19 win over the Titans. Rams 2-0, Titans 0-2.
Not looking good for some of my sleeper picks when it comes to the I had the Titans winning that division. I thought Ward looked better. He's gone against two good defenses.
Yeah, he has.
But Rams improved to 2-0. Puka Nacua with a big touchdown run in there as well.
Okay, all right. What about the DK Metcalf revenge game? Steelers-Seahawks.
Hey, what happened?
Try to go up two scores, and they're going to keep it conservative for Myers. Walker on the run. He may bust a touchdown. He will! Backbreaker from Kenneth Walker III, and Seattle jumps out by two scores.
He may bust a touchdown. He sure did. He sure did. Did you hear the... Did you hear the guy that was doing play-by-play for the Patriots? Every single time...
Oh, on TV.
Yeah.
Catalan.
Yeah. Every single time somebody like came in to make a tackle, like the second guy in on a tackle, every single time he'd be like, Christian Ellis finished him off. Every single time. I was like, all right, bud.
All right, dude.
We got it.
Save it for the safe harbor.
The
audio didn't work on I know this is everybody, audio just didn't work yesterday.
Yeah, no, there was a bit of a mess of a broadcast.
As bad as Spiro and Arch are, this was a step down yesterday.
That was
horrendous.
Can't wait for the next Spiro Arch game.
Horrendous broadcast. Audio issues.
Yeah.
They couldn't keep track of timeouts.
That was great. They can't stop it now. Tua was walking off the field.
They didn't know Achane stepped out of bounds. Like, you clearly heard a whistle and he stepped out of bounds. They had no clue.
I love when they showed the replay because I'm like watching it and I'm like, holy crap, like they just scored. And then they show the replay. He had like his whole entire foot out.
Like, not even close.
I was like, oh yeah, I think he's out of bounds.
I missed all the finishing guys off though yesterday.
Every single play was.
Did you catch the Caleb Johnson, the rookie back out of Iowa, what he did on the kick?
No,
what did
he do?
Ball bounced in the landing zone, rolled into the end zone. He let it go. Seattle fell on top of it for a touchdown.
He walked off the field.
Yeah. Whoops.
Yeah. Whoopsie daisy.
They don't have a Jeremy Springer teaching the finer points of special teams on that squad.
All I know is Mike Tomlin's one of the greatest coaches. He seems like he has them dialed in, is all I know. That's the Pats' next opponent.
That is the Pats' next opponent. They lost to the Seahawks 31-17. Sam Darnold threw a couple of touchdowns. You just heard the Kenneth Walker touchdown run. Jackson Smith and Jigba held out of the end zone, but eight catches for 103 yards. He's been great. So both Seattle and Pittsburgh 1-1. A rematch of one of the most boring Super Bowls of all time.
It sure is.
That was a tough game. All right, Cardinals and Panthers.
What happened?
Josh Gaines, one of the backup old linemen, lines up as a fullback. Connor had the lead blocker he needed, and he bangs it in for the Cardinals' touchdown.
Bangs it in? Busts a touchdown?
What? Are they all on like a separate group chat?
They're all horny.
Text chain. All of these play-by-play guys, and they're all just like trying to out-horny each other?
Yes, they are. The Cardinals built up a huge lead and then almost let it slip away. The Panthers did have the ball down by only five, but got sacked on the final play. So the Cardinals are 2-0. Panthers are 0-2. Bryce Young, one of those good fantasy days where you get smoked early. You end up throwing three touchdowns and like 300-something yards.
They couldn't stop Bryce Young to Hunter Renfrow. That was a lethal connection there at the end. The Cardinals have done the exact same. They're 2-0.
They've
done the exact same thing 2 weeks in a row. They let the Saints and the Panthers hang around. My Dave Canales, head coach of the year, future prop, not looking so hot.
No, not so much. No. Ted McMillan, the rookie, 100-yard game.
Big game.
Six catches, 100 yards.
All right, what about this crazy game? Cowboys and Giants.
What happened?
Well, the Cowboys kicked a 64-yard field goal with time expiring to force overtime and then in overtime.
46 to try and win this thriller. Aubrey got it into overtime and now wins it. What a ball game. Cowboys in OT.
Brandon Aubrey becomes the first player in NFL history to kick a game-tying field goal as time expired in the fourth quarter and a game-winning field goal as time expired in overtime.
Oh, I had
it's
not
never
seen
happened
that,
like
no. Wow.
That. Huh. Like that.
Wow.
Cowboys 40-37 your final in OT. It's Dallas's first win of the season. Giants are 0-2. You got to wonder either I think does Brian Daboll stay and they go to Jackson Dart? Russell Wilson,
what did he throw for yesterday?
453
touchdowns.
I think
it was a career day for him.
But then he also had a horrible pick.
Yeah.
Until the arm punt at the end.
He had a horrible pick.
On now, second down.
I'd imagine.
Jackson Dart did have like a carry.
Yeah, he did. He came in and, do you have a carry? He also handed off, I thought, to Scatabu at one point.
Yeah. Touchdown.
So I'd imagine he goes back. You can't bench a quarterback and throws for 450,
I don't think. No.
So I imagine that buys Daboll a little bit of time. But yeah, what year is it? Russ is throwing for 450. It's like Russ and Dak duking it out. What year is it?
Dak Prescott, 361, two touchdowns. Javonte Williams, though, their lead back, had another good game. He was really good in week one. Week two, 97 yards and a touchdown. CeeDee Lamb, over 100 yards. Malik Nabers had a monster game for the Giants, 9 for 167 and 2. A big game for him. Hmm. All right, what about the Ben Johnson Bowl? Lions and Bears.
What happened?
Didn't go great for Ben Johnson.
What did happen?
Didn't go great for Ben Johnson. Yeah. His former team, though. Maybe they learned from him.
That's what
they were
was,
able to take what he taught them and apply it to this game.
Fourth and goal, fake to Montgomery.
Too easy.
To St. Brown into the end zone. His third touchdown today, and there he goes.
Right into the leap zone.
Right into the leap zone. Pretty good day for the Detroit Lions. Sans Ben Johnson. They scored 52 on Ben Johnson's current team. 52-21 was your final. Good day for the sun god, Amon-Ra St. Brown. 9 for 115 and 3 scores. Both Sonic and Knuckles got the end zone. Jameson Williams scored. Jared Goff threw 5 touchdown passes. On the flip side, Caleb Williams, 207, 2 touchdowns. DeAndre Swift had a garbage time touchdown. Roma Dunze had a good day.
Big day, yeah.
7 for 128 and 2. But the Bears dropped to 0-2. Detroit gets their first win of the season. They're 1-1.
Speaking of snip, Ben Johnson's gotten pretty snippy with the media there.
Yeah.
He was asked if Campbell's running up the score on him late. He's like, well, what? That they what go 4 on 4th down is what they do. So awfully snippy, yeah.
Tough start.
It's not a good start for your guy.
That's my guy.
Your guy, Ben Johnson.
I like that guy.
Yeah.
All right, what about Mac Jones, 49ers and Saints?
My guy.
Hey, what happened?
Special to see the impact we can have.
Yep, no doubt about that as they find Jennings running free. Juwan Jennings going to take it in for a San Francisco touchdown.
The best with the sideline reporters talking over the play. But
what a downsell that was.
It happens. It was a touchdown, one of three touchdown passes for Mac Jones in the 49ers' 26-21 win over the Saints. San Francisco 2-0, like the Rams in the NFC West. Saints fall to 0-2. And I think probably the worst team in the NFL. I think the team the Patriots just played are in that conversation as well. But Saints, Panthers, Dolphins.
New Orleans at least been a little scrappier than I thought. But yeah, I think they are not talented, not good. Mac was pretty decent yesterday. I mean, I heard from a bunch of the Mac people. They apparently still exist. So, look, it was a good game for him. I'll give it to him.
Good game for him. Sunday Night Football was a matchup of the two quarterbacks from the NCAA championship game from just two short years ago. J.J. McCarthy, Michael Penix Jr. It was Falcons and Vikings.
What happened?
Both those guys didn't really do anything. In fact, McCarthy's horrible.
Yeah.
There was this.
Goal, and Algier walks into the end zone for the game's first touchdown.
J.J. McCarthy was awful. 11 of 21, 158 yards, no touchdowns, 2 interceptions. He fumbled 3 times, lost one of them, but fumbled 3 times. So he had 3 turnovers in the game. Penix, 13 of 21 for 135, Penix Jr.
Oh, sorry.
Bijan Robinson had a good day on the ground. Algier had the game's only touchdown, 22-6. Was your final score? Atlanta and Minnesota are both now 1-1.
Well, Parker Romo was blasting kick after kick after kick. They almost missed.
Parker Romo went 5 for 5, including a 54-yarder, and, I think of note, 1 of 1 for extra points.
That seems important.
He made his extra point.
With Andre, I'm sorry, Andy Borregales.
He got to the game.
Here in New England, yeah.
Or he got to the team, I think, on Friday. He was, like, player of the game. He met one of his teammates in the postgame.
You were telling me that.
Yeah, he's like, hey, nice to meet you.
That's amazing. We're already getting the text throughout the show. Oh, you guys still like J.J. McCarthy?
I never did.
You want to direct your criticism at Tom E. Curran on Twitter.
Yeah,
that's probably the best place to do it. We'll talk to Tom E. Curran at high noon
tomorrow. He was so bad.
Neither of us are J.J. McCarthy fans.
Justin Jefferson might kill him, and I don't blame him if he does.
Yeah.
That's going to be frustrating. Then tonight, it's a doubleheader. Buccaneers-Texans at 7 and Chargers-Raiders at 10.
Okay.
A little Monday night doubleheader.
How do you feel about the doubleheader?
Don't like it.
I don't like it either.
Not for me.
Way too much is left to get sorted out in the fantasy matchups. Too much stuff to watch at the end of the weekend.
So now I'm up till 1 o'clock tonight. I hate to be the old man, but like now I'm up till 1 o'clock watching Raiders-Chargers screaming about fantasy football.
Yeah.
I need Brock Bowers to get one more catch. I'm staying up till 1 o'clock like a psychopath.
I mean, yes.
Cracking open one more beer at 12:30 at night. That's not good for my health.
That's a peek forward into our future. Yeah, don't blame. Look. My health is not my issue. It's the NFL's fault.
During the games.
It's the NFL's fault is what it is.
Stinks.
So that's what happened. Week 2 of the NFL almost in the books with Monday Night Football's doubleheader tonight. 617-779-7937. More thoughts on the Patriots, their win over the Dolphins this weekend. You can jump in line. And let's get to the end of an era, the Jalen Polk era, next.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
May takes the snap, throws this one, deep, looking end zone, Booty catches it, touchdown, let's go, 12-0 ball game, Pats lead, Kayshon Booty, he is that man.
It's a hot crossover.
I always said get you a guy who can do both. He's like a young Joe Buck.
He is.
Hogdale, he's doing baseball games, doing football games, it's a busy Sunday for him.
It really was.
Man.
He said Kayshon Booty is that man. He also got pretty frustrated with the Patriots and their kicking.
Well, the kicking was bad, Jones.
Kicking was not great. That's
you thought
true.
You would celebrate the touchdown with 7 points, but you celebrated with 6 twice in a row. And the Booty catch was it's great.
It was a phenomenal grab. Catch. Yeah, the only grab he had, I believe.
Yeah, that was it for him, but he made it count right on Jack Jones. I also realized why the Dolphins are so bad. They have entirely way too many former Patriots.
Jake Bailey.
Cardona. Judon.
Yeah.
They have Cole Strange. They added him.
Oh, yeah. He's on the practice squad.
Pats.
Yeah, cut some
You're
of those
doing
guys.
It wrong. You have way too many Pats.
Right. When you're taking scraps from the Patriots, that's probably why your team.
Terrible sign.
Stinks. Yeah. So the wide receiver room was interesting yesterday. Diggs was pretty quiet. Mac Hollins had an early touchdown. Booty had that touchdown. Pop Douglas was basically invisible.
Pop play?
In the game yesterday. Played 15 snaps,
ooh.
I think. We'll get to him in a moment, but over the weekend, the Patriots, and you may not have even noticed this, traded away Jalen Polk.
He is gone.
He is.
They will be getting a 6th rounder.
Nice.
In 2027.
Oh.
In exchange
that's
for
a good draft, though, so
Jalen Polk. It's a deep draft that year.
Take a look at the sophomores right now.
In exchange for Jalen Polk and a 7th round pick. It is a pick from the Saints. Could be a high one 2 years from now.
Could
I guess we'll have to see.
Maybe the highest 7th rounder.
It could be
highest
6th rounder. Yeah.
For your 7th.
Yeah, don't
which
sneeze at
be
that.
The last 7th rounder.
Right?
It might be Mr. Irrelevant.
It
you
could
just
be.
Gave up.
Schefter gave you all the details on this. We know it, but the Patriots traded out of pick 34. They traded down. They were able to turn Ladd McConkey into Jalen Polk and Javon Baker, who are now
was
both
all
gone.
Pro this year.
Pretty good stuff. The end of an era, as it were. Keith, is it the worst?
Yeah.
Is it the worst draft pick they've ever had?
It's not because
it might be.
So I don't think it is because I think first round picks almost have to always be the answer. I know he was a very high second round pick.
37 is pretty close. And look at what they missed out on. They had Ladd McConkey right there.
Oh, specifically
they turned him into what, a 6th round pick.
Well, that's true.
Baker's gone.
You can't close the door yet. We don't know what that pick is yet.
Yeah, the jury's still out. But it was weird. Like, he would have been cut, or I guess maybe they would have made this trade sooner if it wasn't for him being hurt. Because everyone's like, oh, that affects this. And I'm like, no, it doesn't. This does not affect the who's making the team at all. He was not going to make the team. So, I mean, I guess you could make the case. They had a few other second-round picks, like Rossi Dowling. That was a super high second-round pick. That was even higher. I think it was 34 overall. They called him Ross IR Dowling.
But
they never played.
Did they trade out of the pick and miss out on an all-pro?
Fair enough. Probably not. No.
It might be the worst pick they've ever made.
So that, Duke Dawson into a seventh. That's not great.
I know, but he's saying who you traded. They had McConkey. They traded out.
All right, well, what about N'Keal Harry? He's a first-round pick, and it's not the trades, but it's, well.
Yeah, who you missed out on. That's fair.
It's the receivers that went right after.
Yeah.
So maybe N'Keal Harry. But yeah, it's.
This guy was even worse than Harry. Which is saying something.
Yeah.
This guy was worse.
Was he?
I mean, yes. It's
12 catches in his career.
How many Polk have?
Polk.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Polk had 12 for 87 and 2 touchdowns.
Oh.
Which is
should have been 3 if he knew you had to get both feet down. Yeah.
Tyquan Thornton.
That's another good one. Yeah.
N'Keal Harry for his career, actually, 64 catches.
Smoked him!
174 yards.
N'Keal Harry.
714 good. Yards. I mean,
N'Keal Harry's sneaky good.
Oh, in his Patriots career, because he's with two other
That's
teams.
Closer, yeah.
3 years, 19, 20, and 21 seasons. So you had, what, 3 different quarterbacks.
Mm-hmm.
So that's an excuse for Harry.
Yeah. Yeah, I built that one in.
What do you want him to do? He only had Brady for 1 year.
I mean, Polk and Fairness had 2.
57 catches for 598 yards and 4 touchdowns.
Look, I just had 5 touchdowns. They got screwed in that Chiefs game.
There it is.
That's what derailed his career right there.
Oh, N'Keal Harry, better football player than Jalen Polk.
I'm just saying.
They're both awful.
Jalen Polk might be the worst draft pick this franchise has ever made, given the acquisition costs, given what they missed out on, given the returns. It might be the worst.
Yeah. That's an Elliott Wolf special right there.
Not a good one whatsoever. You mentioned Pop Douglas. What was going on with him yesterday? People told me he was going to be a 1,000-yard receiver this year.
I never did.
Phil, Tom, not to heap all the criticism at Tom Curran. Again, we'll talk to him tomorrow at high noon.
Although
those two were especially bullish on him being the trigger for the offense. He wasn't even out there.
No, he wasn't. No, but Tom really likes Booty. Give him credit for that.
Kayshon Booty had a big Booty fan.
Well, who doesn't like Booty?
Yeah.
So only one catch yesterday, but they only had...
Curran likes Booty.
It's true. 19 catches... But what was it, 7 by receivers or something like that?
Yeah.
What?
They didn't do much.
Now, 2 touchdowns. Both touchdowns that Drake May threw were to receivers. Booty, 1 catch, 16 yards, and it was a score. Mac Hollins, where he kind of rolled out, 1. It was an 8-yard touchdown. But, yeah, Pop only had 1 target.
So the explanation I've seen is they wanted to run more, and they did. You know, it was 29 runs to 23 attempts. I don't know how many total dropbacks, but 23 pass attempts yesterday. And they wanted to run more. He's not a run blocker, so fine. He wasn't out there. I mean, I thought he'd get more than 15 snaps, so keep an eye on that.
Cole Strange is the worst pick ever is a good one, too.
It's another good one.
Yeah.
They missed out on actually 2 players. I saw Mark Daniels tweeting about this yesterday. We've talked a lot about why am I blanking on the corner?
Trent McDuffie.
In Kansas City.
Yeah.
But they misevaluated guard, too. Dallas just paid their guard who went in between trading out. So that's a complete misevaluation. It's like... You wanted a guard.
Got the wrong guard.
That guy got a big, giant extension from Dallas, and your guy is on the Dolphins practice squad.
Nice.
And, you know, on his way out of the league.
Nice.
617-779-7937. Let's go to New Hampshire Norm waiting patiently.
New Hampshire Norm!
New Hampshire Norm, what's going on?
Good morning, fellas. I'm calling you from my boat on Lake Winnipesaukee. I'm out here trolling for salmon, lake trout, and rainbows and having a heck of a day.
Nice. Sounds
like wanted
it.
I just wanted to rebut that gentleman that called earlier.
Oh.
I don't know who he's listening to, but you are the least arrogant, most self-deprecating crew on all of sports radio all of Boston.
We are, New Hampshire.
I agree.
Norm. Thanks for having our back, New Hampshire Norm.
Norm.
On your boat. Yeah, we appreciate it.
Compared to Zoe.
Let's not compare and contrast.
You don't need to compare
to
every other show. You can just talk us up. You don't have to talk other people down.
But you know that he is the most arrogant individual on all of sports radio.
The man has a boat just like you, New Hampshire Norm.
Well, I hope they're biting today. Hope you get your rainbows and your stripers and everything else up there.
Keep your line in the water there.
That's right.
Yeah.
We appreciate that. New Hampshire Norm, though.
Has our back.
Add to the list. Nice day for being on Winnipesaukee.
If we're fair, he's probably pretty biased since, you know.
New Hampshire guy.
Yeah, you guys
sticking
share
with
the
fellow New Hampshire guys.
The Granite State T's and P's to the old man.
Well, still a nice memory, the old man.
our pal Tommy's in Lynn. What's up, Tommy?
What's up, Jones? What's up, Keith?
Hey, Tommy.
This is what I got to say today.
Right.
Yesterday, the Patriots played unbelievable. Drake May had a really good game. Two touchdowns, a rushing touchdown, no picks. He had a good game. The offensive line played good, and they ran the ball a lot. I want to see this team keep doing what they're doing, what they did yesterday, because they never won a game in Miami since 2019 with Brady. And yesterday was a good win for this team. And now they got the Steelers, Carolina, and then Buffalo. I can see this team going 3-2 on this stretch. Let's go.
Okay.
All right. I like it.
How sustainable is what happened yesterday, Keith, with the sloppiness, the big defensive plays they gave up?
Mm-hmm.
Drake May on the other side, I agree with Tommy, was great yesterday. So
they got to clean this stuff up defensively. Offensively, that is good, and I think against some of these bad teams, which we keep pointing to, right, they have an easy schedule. Now, losing to the Raiders, which is not a world-beating team, that was frustrating. That kind of knocked everybody back a little bit. But Miami's also a bad team.
It's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns
You know why
fans.
It's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos. Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.